email ray@rte.ie. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Conor Pope joins us in studio.
It's Tuesday.
It is Tuesday.
Just to remind people, because they're saying Conor Pope's on the radio, must be a Monday.
Yeah, because people set their clocks by that, Ray. I think we both know that.
They do. On Monday, you were writing about our changing patterns of drinking.
Yeah.
During the lockdown and the pandemic. And was there a report or something?
Yeah, no, Drink Aware carried out this survey, and it was a fairly exhaustive survey carried out by Behaviour and Attitudes. So they polled all these people to determine how our relationship with alcohol changed over COVID. And there are a lot of really interesting stats in it. And like one of them, for instance, was 55% of Irish adults said they were drinking alcohol on a weekly basis in 2021. Now that compares with 52% in 2020 and 44% in 2019. So in pre-pandemic times, 44%, post-pandemic or during the pandemic, 55%.
That's an
11% increase. Yeah. And then according to the poll, again, there was 49% of people said they'd engaged in binge drinking in the past 30 days. And that was 46% in 2020. And in 2019, it was 36%. Right. Now, the definition of binge drinking, a lot of people would hear that and say, well, that's six standard drinks. That's not binge drinking. Like, you know, and a lot of people say if they go to a pub to watch a match, they might have 3 pints in the first half and then another 2 pints in the second half. And they think that's grand. And for some people, it might well be grand. I'm not here to judge them.
But it's defined as binge drinking.
Yeah. And then the study also said that 61% of people were frequently drinking for coping reasons. Now that was up slightly on 2020, but it was up another 11% on the year before COVID. And you can kind of empathise and understand why people might be doing that, because the last 2 years were really tough and people were sometimes going, well, geez, there's nothing else going on in my world. You know, I can't do all of those social activities that I might once have done. And like people would maybe have leaned more towards drinking alcohol. And it's worth highlighting the fact because, you know, and Drink Aware were just, they're as you know, they're an industry funded charity and their aim is to, you know, move people away from the misuse of alcohol. That's what the charity is doing.
So Drink Aware is... It's funded industry
by,
funded.
It is funded by the industry. And as they say, charity, and what they want to do, what they say they want to do is they want to stop the harmful use of alcohol. And that's to anybody's credit, because I don't think we want to be a nation where we're drinking alcohol irresponsibly or harmfully.
It's a while since I've been on their website, but I must revisit it again to see if they list all the harmful effects of drinking. On it.
I was on it yesterday, and in fact, that they do that, and the website will show you, you know, just show you the red flags.
Right.
And it's not the whole thing about, you know, you're an alcoholic if you do X, Y, and Z, because it's not about that, because there's an awful lot of people who wouldn't even be in the same ballpark as alcoholism, but they might have a troubling relationship with alcohol. And like a lot of people are like that. And I think it's just sometimes it's good to take a step back and say, well, how much am I, you know, what is my relationship with alcohol? And that's what the survey does. And I would have huge sympathy with people who, because like the 2 years were tough.
Yeah.
And a lot of people, you know, didn't have anything else in their world except maybe a couple of glasses of wine.
It'd be interesting to see if we return to pre-pandemic patterns.
Well, that'll be interesting for 2022, 2023.
Okay. Now, pricewatch@rte.ie if you want Conor to grapple with any of your consumer issues. This came in. Dear Conor, I'm constantly hearing about inflation of 5 or 6%, but I think it has to be a lot more when it comes to groceries. Just look at bread, butter and milk. The bread I buy has gone from 1.50 to almost 2 euro. The butter is up from 2.29 to 2.89 and the milk has gone up by at least 30 cent. These are all double digit increases and I could go on and on. Is it just me or has anyone else noticed this?
Well, it's not just this person by any means. In fact, according to a survey by Kantar and their retail analysts that was published this morning, around 23% of people now say, of Irish people now, Irish households at least, say they're struggling to get by in the face of a dramatic increase in prices across the up and down their supermarket aisles. And it's not just the three products that this person has mentioned. It's an awful lot of other products. So I know that the question is, well, hang on a second, inflation is only at 5%, yet some of these products are going up by 10, 20, 30%. And one of the reasons for that is the basket of goods that they use to measure inflation is enormous. And some of those products will go up and some of them will go down and some of them will stay the same. So if you look at the basket of goods that you might typically find their way into an Irish supermarket or into an Irish shopping trolley, it's not enormous. There might be 100 products, or there might be 60 products, or 40 products, or 30 products. And, you know, a lot of those products are being really, really hit hard in as a result of the current rate of inflation. So you might be looking at dairy, and, you know, you've seen some products going up from 229 to 289 for own brand butter. In some instances, not in all of in all instances, you might see milk going up. You might see bread going up from 150 to 2 euros. That's a big increase. Like, that's a significantly higher increase than the rate of inflation. And of course, an awful lot of this is being fed by the war in Ukraine. And you'll remember we probably talked about price inflation in January and early February. And, you know, we were making estimates.
That was pre-Ukraine, yes.
We were making estimates. Oh, things are really bad now. And, like, hopefully by the summertime, things will have settled down. But even by the roughest calculations in February, when you took into account the increase in the cost of groceries, the increase in the cost of fuel, and the increase in the cost of energy for home heating and lighting your home, people were going to be worse off by around 1,500 to 2,000 euro. It's going to be much worse in the months ahead.
There's no good news, is there?
There is no good news. Right. And the thing is, there is a knock-on effect for everything. So one of the interesting things is sunflower oil. Now, you might think, okay, well, I don't use sunflower oil, I'm grand. But, like, the world is running out of sunflower oil for the very simple reason
because
that 95% of it is made in either Ukraine
or
Russia. And so we're not getting that now. And as I say, you might think, oh, well, I don't use sunflower oil because I use olive oil or whatever, rapeseed oil or whatever it might be. But the thing is, when sunflower oil dries up, that's going to have a knock-on effect on the prices of other oils, because obviously demand will increase, and once demand increases and supply diminishes, the price goes up. But not only that, the use of sunflower oil, like, sunflower oil is used in all sorts of things. And it's the same when it comes to things like dairy, because, for instance, if the price of milk goes up, and the price of milk might go up because of the energy costs associated with producing the milk goes up. And once the price of milk goes up, well, then the price of everything that contains milk goes up.
Yeah.
And you're having this constant domino effect. So, I mean,
how do they decide what goods are in the basket?
Well, I mean, it's historical. I mean, because the CSO's job is to provide a consistent and balanced.
And it's not just groceries. Other things.
Oh no, it's everything. It's electronics. It's services. It's across the board.
There's things that don't even fit in a basket or anything.
Things that don't even have a physical form.
Yes, yes.
So the rate of inflation is a very useful measure for how things are, but it's not an accurate reflection of how things might be as you go about your shop.
Yes.
And another example would be, for instance, pasta. Pasta is going to go up significantly more than the rate of inflation because an awful lot of the world's exported
meat. So if you're a big pasta house as opposed to a potato house, you might be, you know, you might be feeling the pinch.
Well, no, absolutely. But again, the price of potatoes could go up, will go up because of the cost of fertilisers and feeds and all that other stuff.
Now, here's the thing we've been talking about for years, and it looks like it's about to happen. Is it the ECB rate? Because there are 400,000 people in Ireland on tracker mortgages.
Absolutely.
And we've been living a sort of a charmed existence, I think, for a number of years.
And it does look like the European Central Bank is going to increase its rates. And that's going to change the picture quite significantly for a lot of people, because it traditionally is the only lever that central banks, be they the Fed in the United States or the Central Bank the Bank of England in the UK or the ECB across the Eurozone, it's the only lever they have to control inflation. Inflation is getting out of control, and the big hope amongst European finance ministers in January and early February was that it was all being driven by higher energy costs, and once the summer came, energy prices would fall because obviously there's less demand, and then things would settle down. But of course, the Russian invasion of Ukraine completely changed the ballgame entirely, and that means that they can now, the big fear that inflation will become embedded in our economies. So what you'll see is you'll see food prices going up, and then obviously to combat the rate of inflation, the people who work in the manufacturing industry will need higher wages because they'll need to be able to cover the cost of the food that they need to buy, and that will of course put further pressure on food producers and suppliers, and then the prices will go up a little bit further, and then everybody who works in the public service or in the private sector have their unions who will need to push for higher wages to protect their members.
Yes.
And again, you enter that spiralling inflation thing that is really a nightmare scenario for everybody.
And it's counterintuitive then that they'd put up interest rates.
Well, you see, like, you must remember that the European Central, when you put up interest rates, what you're doing is you're constricting the supply of money in the economy. And by constricting the supply of money in the economy, the idea is that you'll have a dampening effect on prices. What you, the other alternative would be to just print loads of money, like they might have done in some banana republics in, you know, South America, or indeed Ireland, in times past. Not suggesting that we did that, but, you know, we might have a little bit. But and that's why inflation would have been hitting 15, 18% at times.
When is that? I don't expect you to have this off the top of your head, but it's a long time since there's been an increase in the
European ECB. You know what? It's at least 7 or 8 years.
Yes.
And in fact, I remember a time writing a piece for the Irish Times about what would happen when interest rates hit 5%. And I think that might have been 2010, 2000. And it was a really dark piece going, God, once, because the trajectory of interest rates from the central bank, the European Central Bank, was upward. So they were on the upward curve. And like, I was just thinking, oh, my God, you know, if you've got a 300,000 euro mortgage and for every 0.5%.
Of course, there are people listening who got mortgages out and they were in double figures. The interest rate was double figures.
Do you know what? There probably isn't many of them now.
No, is there not?
Oh, but think when you think about it, like if, right, okay. it would, 30 years ago was 1992.
Yes.
And I'd say 1994, 95, 96.
They went down.
That's when things started to fall. But you're right.
They may have paid them off, but they did get them.
There's an awful lot. Like my dad, when he would have got out, taken out a mortgage for the house that he bought in 1980, would have been paying double digit 19% mortgages. Right. And the big dream was always if you worked in the bank.
Yes.
Because if you worked in the bank, you could get your mortgage rate at around 3%. And that was just like, it seemed incredibly low. But if you were to tell someone on a tracker now that they were going to have to pay 3% mortgage,
it's going to have a big effect on people. It's 400,000 people out there.
And it will take money from people's pockets.
Yeah.
And I suppose the hope is that the European Central Bank tends to move cautiously on these matters, and it tends to increase its interest rates in increments of a quarter of a point. So you might see
they haven't done it yet.
You might see a quarter of a point in September. Like, this is speculative.
Yes.
A quarter of a point in November, maybe. And so, you know, it wouldn't have an absolutely hammering impact on people just yet. But it's just one of those things where you have to watch the space.
No, you haven't said that now. Is that going to affect the stock exchange tomorrow?
Literally, Ray, there's nothing I could say that would impact the stock exchange.
Pricewatch at rte.ie. And just, we've had a number of queries. Macaulay Place, we were talking to Margarita and Dennis earlier on about Macaulay Place in Naas, which is a repurposed convent with 53 apartments where people go when you're over 65. It sounds idyllic.
It does.
We reckon that every town and village in the country should have.
See you there, Ray.
I'll be there first, Connor. Right, that's it from us. Cormac is on his own today. We are back tomorrow at 3 o'clock. Enjoy the rest of your Tuesday evening. It's this one here, yeah.
It's the Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1.